But so far we've discussed, you know, broadly speaking, the relationship between these two stages of Aninus and Avelus, and again, how we look at each one of them. Again, you know, strict, I guess purist Rambam kind of approach, you know, one could have thought that, you know, Aninus is all just belayed, all either practical or emotional, and all the halachic issues begin at Avelus. Taking a strict Ramban approach, at least according to some formulations of the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, one could have thought exactly the opposite, and that is that everything really begins at Aninus. Aninus is the most intense part. There really is no difference between Aninus and Avelus at all, and whatever differences actually practically exist are just that. They're practical differences, and they are a concession to the requirements of Asek Bikvuras Hametz. In which case you'd have two completely opposite views, and the idea that, you know, Aninus is just some sort of a... Aninus and Avelus have nothing to do with each other, and then to discuss, you know, even the possibility that Aninus is basically a non-issue, and then you'd have to deal with all the other evidence that we discussed, or to take the view that everything, you know, begins at Aninus, and it's all one integrated whole unit as well. We're going to revise each of those perspectives a little bit, you know, today with the time that we have. Then we have the third shita, which was the Ritva, right? To who in our to answer the problem of our sugya seems to suggest that on the one hand, Aninus lechud and Avelus lechud, in the sense that there are, but there's a tremendous overlap between the two. It's not true that Aninus is just. Thank you very much. It's not true that Aninus is just, you know, a belave, or just for the world of Maisa Shani and Kadshim. None of that is true. There are Nihuge Avelus already, Bishas Aninus. But unlike what seems to be the perspective of the Ramban, which is that that is all because everything is triggered by the Misa, the Ritva is Mechadesh, and that fits in perfectly for our Sugya, both in the language, which he doesn't discuss, Machnisin is a Meis Lecheder, but certainly works beautifully in the end of the sugya. And to answer the question, you know, why aren't we concerned about violating the Isur Tashmish Shamita at the state of Aninus and only at the state of Avelus? So for the Ritva, the answer is that Avelus, in other words, Kvura, triggers Avelus, and that's an objective, pure definition. Aninus, when it's Chal, has its own Nihuge Aninus, or Nihuge Avelus, which includes Tashmish Shamita. However, the Hagdara of Aninus is much more flexible. And as we explained, in contrast to the Ramban, the Kiddush of the Ritva seems to be that it's not Misa which is Mechayiv, right? It's the Shame Onein, or the Shame Misa Mesa Mutalafanav. And that requires that you be in that state. In other words, that the physical mace is mutalapana, we understand. That's part of the machnisin also, you know, lecheder, you know, symbolically, obviously. Whether the it's a din in esek hamace or the chiyuv esek hamace, exactly what defines the shame owning, which triggers these dinim, that, you know, still requires a little bit of work. Basically, I think it works nicely with the broader view of the ra'ah, and actually, ironically or not ironically, of the Ramban about Aninus and, you know, Basar V'yayin in contrast to Rabbeinu Tam, etc. So basically what we did last time, what we did yesterday, was try to just go through the Shaka V'tar. How would the different parts of the sugya work according to each of these like initially extreme shitas, the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Ritva. And what we basically were saying was that according to the Rambam, the Gemara works very nicely. The end of the Gemara basically says, Aninus lechud, Avelus lechud. They have nothing to do with each other. There's no kula in Avelus here. There's just a kula in Aninus. It's not even a kula in Aninus, actually, because there's no din of Tashmish Shamita, the Aninus, whatsoever. The only question we had according to the Rambam was, what do you do with... Aviv shalkala v'ima shalchasan, what do you do with the fact of being poresh? What do you do with the fact that, you know, if you don't have to take a financial hit that you can't do any of this, what's the problem? Either way, it's just bilas mitzvah, which is mutter. So that I was suggesting, that even the Rambam will agree that if it's gratuitous, then it's either a din in kavod ames, or maybe it's a din in the aninus shebelay. But that's a function of whether there is any sort of counter pressure, and it would be a kind of a hutra counter pressure, is what I mean. In other words, if there's a good reason, even if it's financial, or otherwise, to be involved in this behavior, since there's no violation and it's not actually an iser or in any way a flaw in the anino subjectively per se, so then it would be a mutter legamri, and it wouldn't be a problem, and it wouldn't be a kula, it wouldn't be anything. And these two things are luchot. An interesting thing to raise, according to the Rambam, also would be the question of how you define, nisyosh vilakavra. Again, we had touched on this in the Yerushalmi, quoted by the Balei Tosis. We can understand that this is a big issue. At what point does Avelus, at what point are you not a no-name, in terms of Misha Mesa Mutalafan of an Adinim of Aninus? And at what point, actually, you might be mechalik in this question between these two nafkamina, when you're not an onain, and when does avelus begin? What's the equivalent of kvura sames or stima sagolel at a certain point in time in the situation? So we know nisyosh milikavro, if he was carrying the mace and then he handed off, to someone else, at that point the Gemara seems to say that is the beginning of Dinei Avet, that's the equivalent of Kavura. Okay, but what happens in all sorts of gray area cases in between? In other words, let's say there's not going to be a Kavura at all. The Mount Wurttemberg type cases that the Yerushalmi also speaks about. Nisyaj Milikavro, not ever, but let's say, could be in the future. But if it's Nisyaj Milikavro forever, that's one thing. But if it's not Nisyaj Milikavro forever, but just temporarily, but it's not going to happen now. We know it's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen in a week. It's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen in a surprising fashion. What about that? Or, like we were discussing, he's in a different city. He's not coming to the funeral. They're taking the body, the goof to, and the aron to Eretz Yisrael, and, he's only going as far as the airport, or he's not even going to the airport. Right. There are all sorts of gray area cases where the question is, when does the kvura begin? Lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, this is a huge issue, as you can understand, especially bizmaneinu, when, we have, we know when kvuras are taking place. You can actually watch the kvura, over the internet. All you need is one person with a phone there. The way with a telephone, you can hear the hespedim and so on. So at what point does the transition take place between aninus and avelus, both in terms of the end of aninus? That's one issue. And the other question, of course, triggering the dine avelus and the beginning of shiva and the nihuge avelus. So again, we have some very clear cases, and we have some discussions in Rishonim that expand it, and we're left with a lot of gray area. And the question of, modern transportation, modern, communication, if you can't make it to a kvura because it's physically, the means of transport won't get you there, now that, we can go places by, much more quickly, let's say, or we can be places virtually, does that change things? Does that change things or not? So in a way, the point I'm trying to make is that there are a lot of tshuvas about that, and let's say in the modern era, this is a huge issue in particular. Without paskening in any way, the discussion of the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ritva is, on the surface, very relevant. Whether you can pin it down is a different question, but, conceptually relevant to this issue. In other words, if you take the view that, especially for the Rambam, that everything is triggered by the Kvura in terms of Avelus, and that's the transition, and there's nothing about Dine or Nihuge Avelus, before that point, so you still have a question, what do you mean by Kvura? Do you mean, whatever you can do, or whatever, and there's still the Siyarish Milikavro, so we still have precedent. But you're more likely going to think that it's the actual Kvura, because those distinctions are just much more clear cut. On the other hand, if you take the view, a Ramban type view, and especially the way that we've been interpreting it, which is that Misa, in theory, is Mechayev Dinei or Nihuge Avelus. And the only reason that you're you know, making distinctions and holding things up is because of asik, bikur, some ace. But that's, the more you see that as an artificial impediment, but that fundamentally, dini abelos come from misa and they should start miad. So then you're going to be much more expansive about, you know, an early hagdara of kvura, because you don't really need kvura, you just need the termination of siyum, of asek benes, or aninus, or tipala mes. In theory, you could have an onain for, you know, again, for the Rambam, you can't have an onain and an avel bevasachas. So, you know, those two issues also, you know, should be hapatalia. For the Ramban, right, in theory, you know, there's no reason why, you know, there can't, these two things can't coexist, because fundamentally, according to that perspective, at least in the Ramban, every onain is an avel, the most intense avel. He should really be getting all of the dinim and nihugim. And so in theory, you could be an onain, you know, and an avel at the same time. Certainly, there's no special yichus to the kvura, except that it ends the aninus, you know, and the removes the artificial impediment. So we're going to be more likely to be very flexible, you know, and very encompassing about how we define that. In terms of the ritva, it's a bit of a trickier question, because if the dine or nihuge avelus are triggered, you know, by the shame onain and the chiyuv kvura, or the hagdara of misha mesa mutalafana, but again, these are a little bit different, but it doesn't really matter for our purposes right now. So it's just a slightly different question, right? On the one hand, as we see in our sugya, I mean, this is an incredibly flexible thing. Basically, in our sugya, the ritva is saying that the obligation of or the legitimate preoccupation with chuppah, in a case where otherwise there'll be a hefsed, or otherwise there'll be a fall off in the simcha, right? So it's a legitimate tirdas mitzvah, osik mitzvah, whatever you want to call it, basically neutralizes the shame, misha mesa mitzvah, or the shame owning. So, you know, in a way, again, for the ritva, the question isn't so much, you know, when does kvura come early, or when does the, you know, practical asek, you know, bikvura, as an artificial impediment, when is it neutralized? It's a slightly different question, and that is, you know, when is there a shame onain, and when, you know, when not. But as long as there's a shame onain, there will be at least many of the nihugi avelos, and there won't be nihugi avelos at all, even though it's lachar misa, and even though there's dafka no tipul and asek bikvura sanes, you know, as long as, you know, as long as you're in a state of involvement, you know, with something else. Again, just to highlight this a little bit more, the Lechem Mishnah, which we'll discuss in a couple of minutes, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, as we noted, was bothered by the fact that the Rambam seems to quote the psukim referring to aninus and avoda baninus and achilas kadshim baninus in Perek Aleph Chasav Halacha Aleph, when he's talking about abelus and abelus daraisa. So at one point the Lechem Mishnah really says, well, I don't understand. If the Rambam thinks that these two things, you know, are not absolute different categories, like he seems to be saying, you know, in the other places, including Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, so why doesn't he really think then that there should be an Iser Tashmi Shamita and all these other things, Mishas Aninos? So it's just interesting that he, see if I can find the line very quickly, it's very interesting that he highlights it in that way. Koshali. Given that Gonim Brabenu Mashvin Aninus Achilas Kachim Avelus Ramuda called over Achad, Ukushonin Achilas Kachim Hu Avel, Kamosha Kasav, etc., in Cain, given the Ika Aninus Bachilas Maisum Natora, Kinabiomisa Levad, below Kavura, Lahava also Batashma Shamita, Daninus, the Kachim Bavelus, Kada Milsa, Mahada Kusha the Duchta, Ladas Rabenu. Now, my Amru Perakamadik Silvis, the Bo Bila Smitzvah, a Roy Lassar, the Tashma Shamita. Right? Akati Kashad, Rabbeinu Kasav Lakaman, Ein Onen Asar, Bidavar, Minadvarim, Shaval Asar, Dainu Tashma Shamita. Rechitza, Sicha, Lamai, Kiv the Onen Asar Bekanshim, Lodato Aninos Vavelos, Echad, and we'll discuss the answer in a minute, but Ubishlom Anilos Hasadna, Latifas Arosh, Lord the Potro, Kedikasav Ramban, because of a tour, she toured iskemes. Abu Kalashar Roy lechayva bekach b'tzarchi. I'm just to highlight the problem. Meaning, you know, if you take the strict constructionist view of the Rambam, so then aninus l'chud and avelus l'chud, you know, then you could still ask the question, and what exactly is aninus? You know, is it even a stage, or is it something purely A, pragmatic, or B, kutchin, oriented, etc.? But the point is, our Gemara is great, but you have to wonder about these other issues, and you have to navigate Perek Aleph, you know, Halakha Aleph, and we'll get back to that. But for the Ramban, as I say, you know, if again you're taking the more extreme view of the Ramban, the way that it was picked up by a lot of the Mefarshim, Tur included, so then you know, everything is the opposite problem. And that is not so much how can you have any overlap, but why don't you have total overlap? And if you, you know, and that would also have an afkamina, as I'm saying, in terms of being Bagdir on a, you know, on a different level, when the Avelus begins. What constitutes Kavuras Ames, or the equivalent of Kavuras Ames? But for the Ritva, basically we have two dinim, clearly, Aninus via Avelus, and we also have the assumption that the shame, Aninus, is something which depends on the Hagdara of Bishamesa Mutalafanam, and how you define that. But then, you know, everything is fine. Again, the Rambam has a clear reading of our Gemara. The Ritva is motivated by, presumably, by being the Yashem Ar Sugya. So he also has a very clear reading of the Gemara. Even though Aninos will often have Nihugei Avelos, or some Nihugei Avelos, including Tashmi Shamita, right, which is what we're talking about here, the Ritva has no problem at the end of the Gemara, because the end of the Gemara is dealing with the Kulas of Avelos. And the kulas of Avelus are irrelevant to the kulas of Aninos, because we're dealing with two mechayvim. B, there happens to be no kula of Aninos in this case either. If you were worried about, oh, fine, don't give me the technicality, you know, there's no kula in Avelus here, but you know, there is a kula for Chasan Avel, right, for the Chasan in this case. Even that, the Ritva has a ready answer, because he's basically telling you that there's no Shemonein here, Legabe, this thing. For the Ramban, as we explained yesterday, this remains a problem. How you read the end of the Gemara is a problem. How do you read the beginning of the Gemara? That the Ramban seems to take care of by indicating that in Achanami, it's just as bad or maybe worse to do Tashmi Shamita Bisman Aninus as it is to do Avelus. As far as that is concerned, we have the answer of, Ase Doche, you know, assay or something like that, which we'll get back to. Why is that better for Aninus than it is for Avelus if it should apply to both? And maybe it should be actually better, better to violate Avelus Drabanan, than Aninus, which certainly seems to be Daraisa. The answer to that is because we had an additional interest here. That additional interest was allowing for Shivas Yimei Mishta prior to Shivas Yimei Avelus. It's not the, it's wrong to look at this as a competition between violating Tashmi Shamita Shel Onein or violating Tashmi Shamita Shel Avelus. You have to look at the package here. The package here is that pre-Kvura, you don't get in Tashmi Shamita, you get in Shivas Yimei Hamishta, right, attached to the Chuppah, and that's a value as well. Okay, but for the Maskanas HaGemara, that remains a problem for the Ramban. Even if technically you could say, you know what, the Avelus is Bali Kula here, because it's only Bisman Sima Sagolel, but the fact that Misa is the Mechayiv of Dine Avelus, like Tashmi Shamita, would seem to render that just a purely technical answer and an unsatisfactory answer as well. So we need still to get back to the Ramban in that regard as well. Before we do that, I just want to mention a couple of other points regarding the Ritva, and then I want to revise or complicate a little bit, as Shai might think, our picture of the Rambam and the Ramban. Okay? Right? I mean, we want to do that.
It's more interesting that way.
Absolutely. but, you know, yeah. So with regard to the Ritva, as I say, I think something else that emerges from the Ritva is that you can have two different stages. In the Ritva, something that emerges is that Aninus and Avelus are not exactly identical, even though there is a lot of overlap. And this, I think, is something which is more complicated or more complex. But I think it's really true. It touches on something, you know, humanly, emotionally true, and also, I think, you know, idealistically true. And that is, you know, when it comes to grief and coping, you know, with an irrevocable loss, that there shouldn't be, as I said, a straight hierarchy. You know, there also should be a hierarchy of intensity and you know, attenuation or moderation, etc., for sure. But it shouldn't be all, you know, in a single line. Human emotion is more complex than that. The nature of loss in different aspects of it, dimensions of it, is more complex than that. And the halakha's view of man and the way that they want you normatively to respond to loss has to be on multiple levels and in different ways. And sometimes with a step forward and two steps back, or two steps forward in some cases and one step back, etc. So given that the whole process of Avelus, you know, with the Aninus and the Yom Rishon and the Shlishi and the Shiva and the Shloshim and the Yud Beis Kodesh and the Yortzai, is all way of, you know, kind of therapeutically, halachically, accomplishing many, many goals, it would be expected that there would be in many things a linear hierarchy, but that wouldn't be the whole story. We wouldn't just find that, you know, we're just getting lesser and lesser of the same thing. Some things are going to be worse as you go forward, and we know this to be emotionally true, meaning I discussed already, you know, there's the challenge of the Misa and the paralysis, both in terms of Kavod HaMeis and Kavod HaChayim, in terms of assessing your own vulnerability, your own mortality, but of course it's the loss of relationships and so on. There's a difference when the body is there and when it's not there. There are certain things that intensify at the moment of the Ketura. And there, of course, is the initial intensity of the Shas HaChimum and the Acharisa Ki Yomar of when you hear about the loss and when you suffer the loss, and even as you're involved in the Esek of Kavura Sadeh. So it's clear that those are not just, you know, more or less, but they're more in one way, less in a different way, both for the Kavod HaMeis and for the Kavod HaChayim components. And therefore, what the Ritva is saying, which is that, Aninus and Avelus have a lot of overlap, but even in the overlap that they have, if there's a Mechayev of Aninus and a Mechayev of Avelus, and they're different, is a very appealing, it's a very appealing idea. The question is, when we revise in a couple of minutes our assessment a little bit of the, you know, how clear-cut the Rambam and Ramban are about seemingly saying, you know, that everything just begins at Avelus or that everything just begins at Aninus, you know, maybe the Ritva's model, you know, is something that will be helpful to us. Again, this also relates to what we spoke of the other day, namely that other, you know, Oskin, Bekfura, Sameis are not relatives, somehow, according to some perspectives, assume a bit of a, almost like a Meis Mitzvah type of a connection. That's their kind of Avelus and involvement. It's not just a Tirdas Mitzvah. And that, you know, Esek B'Meis, certainly according to the Ritva and possibly for others as well, is also a level in Avelus itself. So I think that there is something in the view of the Ritva, of even where there's overlap of Dinim, that the Dinim are different, that Aninus L'chud and Avelus L'chud, even in Tashmish Amita, and therefore also the flexibility of the Hagdara of one as opposed to the, you know, objective application of the other, being the flexibility of the Onein part of the objective definition of the Kvura and Avelus, is something that is an interesting model to reflect on. Moreover, for the Ritva to work, there are two other things that we should look at. One is the impact, how you define certainly Misha Mesa Mutla Lafanov and Esek Bekfura Sameis, but at the same time, in this case, the counter pressure, what it is that you're involved in. Again, the Ritva will tell you that if it's not Ovid Shel Chasam and Ima Shel Kala, or if it's not, you know, a situation where there's going to be a financial loss, etc., so obviously there's no sufficient urgency to be considered osek, you know, the iske, you know, chasen v'kala, or chuppah, or mitzvahs, you know, nisuin, such that you should be delaying, or you should, you know, neutralize, that should neutralize the shame owning. But if it appears that it's not just a dechia, but it's a hagdara, meaning onein, that possibly at least the asek b'mitzvah, in this case the mitzvah, the, you know, which is not efshar, you know, lasas ideacherim, and it's not efshar, you know, la'acher either, would seem to be something formidable. Again, I can't prove this, but I think that it is the case. And that happens to work very well with the Ritva's general shita in Sukkah. Again, I'm not sure that these two things are linked. I'm just throwing it out of speculation. We'll talk about it more when we get to the Bavmid base, but we'll talk about it a little bit now so we can talk about it more quickly then. There's a huge debate about Osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. And we touched on it a little bit yesterday. Right, we were talking about the Taz and the Shach and the Drisha and the Shulchan Aruch, right, regarding Tefillas Tashlumin. Right, so what emerged from there was, is Osek Mitzvah the same as Osek Tzorchei Tzibur, and are they the same as, you know, preventing, you know, Hefsed Mamon, or loss of a job? One part of it. The bigger question being, right, is Osek Mitzvah kind of an onus? But an onus in the, you know, pragmatic way, a p'tur, right? Or is osik b'mitzvah a hafka? Right? That's essentially, the Taz was saying, osik b'mitzvah, that's an onus. Right? And the Shach was saying, what are you talking about? It's osik b'mitzvah. Right? So he's mufka l'gamri. So this question, in osik b'mitzvah, p'tur b'mitzvah, is a huge question. We'll discuss it more when we get to the base. But the main, you know, famous issue is the debate among the Rishonim about Efshar Lasos, Efshar L'Kayim Shnei. Normally, most of the mainstream Rishonim, Rashi, Tosis, etc., assume that we don't say Osek Mitzvah Patam Mitzvah when it's Efshar L'Kayim Shnei. Understandably. The question is why? So there could be two explanations. So the simple explanation is, because of its Efshar L'Kayim Shneinu, so what's the problem? Right? It's a dechuya kind of a problem. It's a priority problem when you can only do one and not the other. And as such, if Efshar L'Kayim Shneinu, there's no problem and there's no issue. That's a simple pshat, because Osek Mitzvah, Patar Mitzvah, is a kind of a dechuya. It doesn't mean you're not mechuya. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you're, that you're mufka for the mitzvah. It just means that there are priorities, and instead of the chashivus ha-mitzvah, let's say, being koveya, the, you know, the priority of involvement, the time issue, once you're involved in a mitzvah, that too is a big chiddush, right? Because you could have thought that, well, the quality of the mitzvah, you know, should always determine, you should drop one even if you're already involved in it. But maybe it's Eina Tayodea Matan Tzchar Shal Mitzvos, or maybe even if Atayodea Matan Tzchar Shal Mitzvos, the point is that every mitzvah is of infinite value anyway, in the bigger picture, similar to our Kiddush Hashem discussions and so on. And therefore, you don't have to drop one for the other. That's a simple pshat in most cases. And there could still be a debate what constitutes Efshar L'Kayim Shnei and what not, meaning how difficult it is, you know, whether or not it touches or tarnishes the quality of how you're doing things, either the first one or the second one. Those are all big issues. Fine. But there could be another reason why, if Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, that Osek Mitzvah is not Patur Min HaMitzvah. That is, even if you take the view that it's not a kind of a dechuya, but it's a kind of a hutra, meaning belechtecha vaderech, you know, means only when you're in a state of, you know, neutrality. Your chayv mitzvos only, you know, when you're involved in your personal business or neutral business. When you're involved in the Rabbanu Shel Olam's business, you're mufka b'chiyuv mitzvos. So why dafka b'efshar l'kayim shneim? Because the question is, how do you define the shame osek b'mitzvah? What you might say is, you know, if I'm osik b'mitzvahs, I'm potter mikol shar mitzvahs. And it's a hafka. Right? However, if I can, you know, give tzedakah while I'm wearing a tefillin, can we do that? Can we give tzedakah while we're wearing tefillin? If we're a human canvas? Might not be. the people in the Pushka people in the shuls, you know, they depend on that. You can say it's actually a kiyum. That's because you're always just a little bit too conservative. Anyways, the point is, if you're wearing, that's the discussion that the Rishonim have, right? If you're wearing talis and you're wearing tefillin, right? So you're potter to call mitzvah shebet Torah. You know, people just walk around, you know, wearing talis and tefillin all day. So the point is that there's no shame. Osek the mitzvah legabe the other mitzvah. There's no clash according to some Rishonim. So then there's no, you know, you're osek in this mitzvah, you're osek in that mitzvah. But one vis-a-vis, no, it's osek mitzvah doesn't just mean any osek the mitzvah. There's also a hagdara of osek the mitzvah vis-a-vis the other mitzvah, and that itself depends on efshar yefshar l'kayim shnei. Now there's a group of Rishonim, Yarzarua. Again, we'll document it when we get to it. I don't want to get too far afield for the moment. The Or Zeruah, the Ran, the Or Zeruah, the Ran, and the Sukkah, right? They discuss this possibility that even Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, all things being equal, Osek Mitzvah's Potter Min HaMitzvah. Obviously, that doesn't work for Devuya. What they have to say is one of two things. Number one, that vis-a-vis other mitzvahs, then there's a debate. They'll tell you, wearing tefillin, wearing talis, that's not called osik b'mitzvah, vis-a-vis giving tzedakah or other things. But there are mitzvahs, even if efshar l'kayim shneim, however, you know, vis-a-vis that other mitzvah, you're still called osik b'mitzvah. It's efshar l'kayim, but you still have a chalos of osik b'mitzvah. That's the construct here, and we have to figure out what that is. It's a very fascinating topic. But where that exists, basically, you're mufka b'mitzvahs, because b'lech t'cha v'derech really means b'lech t'cha v'derech b'shach b'chal v'kumecha. Right, means when you're in a neutral state, or you're on your own time, when you're on the Rabbeinu Sholem's clock, vis-a-vis something else, even though you could do it, you're just mufka, you're not mechuyev b'mitzvah. Anyway, the Ritva has a particular strong formulation of this that the Achronim picked up on. The Ritva in Sukkah, Daf Chafei, says that when you're involved in a mitzvah, any other mitzvah vis-a-vis that mitzvah that you're involved in constitutes a reshus and not a chiyuv. That's the language that he uses. That's a very strong, you know, formulation of, you know, Asik b'mitzvah, redefining, you know, who you are, what you are, redefining the nature of other mitzvos to you. So I'm just wondering aloud, whether or not the Ritva here, it's always dangerous to do that a little bit, but whether or not this idea that the Ritva here is a kind of a really interesting chiddush, several interesting chiddushim, about the Sheimonein, about the Chiyuv of Tashmish Shamita and other Nihugim that apply to Aninus, the things that we've already fleshed out. But one of the additional ones may be that, you know, since he, if he's predisposed in general to the idea that Esek b'mitzvah, like, takes over your life, it redefines, you know, you as a person, and therefore impacts upon the ability to trigger other Chiyuvim, if that happens, that's what's happening. So that might be consistent, you know, with the Ritva here as well. Now, there seem to be two elements what the Ritva is saying. A, that what you're doing now is consequential enough, you know, to negate being Osek b'meis, misa mesa muta lefanav, anonein, right? And the second component, and that is that Aninus isn't just, you know, lemaisa, the body is here and needs kvura, but that it really does require your chiyuv, you know, your formal involvement and shame, you know, tipol or osek or involved with the nets. So that is the other element that I wanted to mention with regard to Shitas HaRitva. Okay, now. So now, having said that, let's go back a little bit to the Rambam and the Ramban. Okay. So in light of the Ritva's idea that even when there's an overlap between Aninus and Avelus, right, it's B'toras Aninus and B'toras Avelus, let's just look again at the Ramban. So again, I don't want to do too much on this. because the Ramban writes a lot in Torah Sa'adam, and you really need, you know, to go through the whole thing. We're not, we don't have time to do that right now. But I just want to make the following horror, and that is that a lot of the Achronim, a lot of the Rishonim and then the Achronim, you know, zeroed in on certain points that the Ramban made. But if you read through the whole Torah Sa'adam on these topics, the Ramban has a lot of oaths. Kedarko. The Ramban has, you know, different levels. He has different ways to answer some of these questions. It's absolutely correct that sometimes when the Ramban speaks about the relationship between Animus and Avelus and Tashmish Amita and so on, it is absolutely correct that sometimes he gives the impression, as we already discussed, that all of Dini Avelus begin at Chiyuv Misa, the Misa, and the only reason that we have distinctive Dini Avelus is because of Tipol, the practical question of Tipol the mace. And as I say, even you know, when he asks the question, why doesn't Shiva begin at the Zman of the Misa instead of the Zman of the Kavura? That's a question which is built l'cha'ora on that, or works better at least. I wouldn't say it needs to be built on that assumption, but it works better with that assumption. And when he gives the answer to that question, well, we want the Shiva to include all of the Nihugei Avelus, right? Or we want it to be a period, you know, which is integrated and not disrupted by, you know, Esek B'Tzarchei HaKavura. That's the impression that you're getting from there as well. Like Vani Tema. One second. One part of it. Ulinen Shailta the Shailna Kadmecha and Lamalo Kivu Bavelos Mishameso Mutalafanov Shehu Ikar Aninus. First of all, the question is based on this assumption. Just even the language. We already pointed out the use of language yesterday, right, in these contexts. Lamalo Kivu Bavelos Mishameso Mutalafanov Shehu Ikar Aninus. The ikar miriruso shall adam. The assumption is a linear hierarchy, and that an aninus and avelus are basically interchangeable. Right? Valov ksiv achrisa ki omar. So the first answer is Yeshomer devade noe kub biktas divre avelus. Inochanami, in other words. Also bechitza, besicha. Right? Kal v'chomer, by the way, this is interesting. Meachilas baso shtias yayin. Again, could have said that achilas basar and shtias yayin have nothing to do, that's a din aninus, that's nothing to do with havelus, has nothing to do with rechitza and sicha. But here the Ramban is going with the view that aninus is tchilas avelus, or the sea, right, of avelus in Hebrew. Vachilas kol tzorcho namo asralav, again, in a way similar to the Rambam in this regard. Ki'ilu, there are, you know, moderate and more intense expressions of basar and yayin. And again, obviously basar and yayin for the Ramban, this is l'shitaso, not like Rabbeinu Tam, but like the Ra'ah and the Ritva, is something that is not, you know, just technically connected to Kvura Sanes. They would certainly reject Ramban, Ra'ah, and Ritva. All would reject the story of Rabbeinu Tam and his sister. Beitzor chlomar, sh'osir b'simcha u'b'tisporis. Velo tikshilach minim sel rabim de mutar lachol basar kivin shena mutar lo v'kavro de mikol makom be'edonin de simcha asorhu ve'asor b'shel ha'shalom v'belach ha'nami v'kvar omru shu asor leishav afilo ala mita kvuya v'en el agabe karko tzarech leishe lo omru le she'en ha'cholets minol v'sandol v'en ha'mate farosh v'en ha'chai b'kviya smitosa. Also interferes. So here's where you get the impression that basically the Ramban is saying inochanami for everything, and there is a straight linear hierarchy, etc. However, if you read the Ramban earlier, and you read the Ramban in the continuation, you get a quite different impression, and then you realize that he's just giving different answers. I mean, he's weighing different possibilities. He's basically, you know, going through this shakla vikarya in his mind and in his ksavit. So earlier, Ramban discusses the problem whether or not shiva sinei avelus, any of it is daraisa, all of it is daraisa, yom kivuro mesa is daraisa. What's going on? Hani shiva yimei avelus. Omri Ravasa, the Omrishan Daraisa, Vishar Yomi Drabanan, Chen Kosa Bilkos Rabbeinu, and so on. And what's the raya that they bring, especially about Yom Kippur Mesa? From the Psukim in the story, in Shmini, in the Parsha of Bisas, Nadav Avim. Right? And then some also added, Vacharit, Pasuk and Amos, Vacharisa, Kiyom Ma. So according to the Ramban, right, this is the problem with the Rambam, right? According to Rambam, this should be chad v'chalak. This shouldn't be a problem at all. Because really, aninus and avelus are the same. Yet, he himself says, v'ani teima, heich lomdu aga'onim avelus midin aninus, halozmano sholzeh, lozmano sholzeh, meso mutalafonov onim dvar Torah, v'zeo ikar aninus, uba'osozman, Now again, you could have said what the Ramban is saying here is you can't prove anything about Avelus, meaning Lachar Kvura, even if it's Yom Kvura Misa, because Aninus is the real Avelus Doraisa. It could be that's all that he's saying, although the question certainly is not as strong as the question seems to be if you hold like the Rambam Udime. But even the language here initially when he asks the question seems to go beyond that. He's not only saying that Mesa Mutalafan of his own name Dvar Torah, says Vze Ikar Aninus, but he adds Uba Osozman Eino Misabel Lo Midivrei Torah Velo Midivrei Sofrim. So here there's an acknowledgement that Aninus Lachud and Avelus Lachud Nikbar Misabel Alav. Again, if the only difference is Mishum Esek Vuras Ameis, right, then that's not really true. The Heich, especially the exclamation point or the, you know, the outrage of the next line, right? The Heich Tolu Agaonim Atzman Bezesha Kosu Bachrisa Kiyomar the Ein Kan Avelus Klal Olam Midivrayim. The Heich Nilmod Zemi Zef Alishmamino She'ein Merirus Shel Bachrisa Kiyomar Ela Belev Ba'od Koshali. This sounds like the Rabba. Ba'od Koshali I Avelus Tvar Torah. Eich omr ba'avel sheyetzel derech. Okay, that's a different question. Okay. Then he discusses whether it's an asay or not asay, and so on. And once again, he distinguishes between teda sharei linin aninus la asi asay to the samachta b'chagecha the dachi aninus. Okay. So basically, the whole thrust of the Ramban when he's attacking the view of those who integrated the two is very surprising. Now later on, he gets back to this and he justifies it. You could say this is exactly where he's mitlabeit and where he. Then he asks the question that we discussed. But what's interesting is I read part of it. He himself goes on to say the chein nira ode regarding now the question of, you know, why didn't we start the minion of Avelus at the time of the Misa? Right, and why don't we have all the Nihuge Avelus at the time of the Misa? So in addition to the answer, the pragmatic answer, the Chad V'Chalak distinction that he makes earlier, then the Ramban says, V'chein Nira Od, She'ikar Avelus Mina Torah, Eino Ela Bi'idonin, Kagon, Rechitza, V'sicha, V'tash Mishamita, U'tfilin She'ein Pe'er, which is also fascinating, right? Tfilin She'ein Pe'er, according to the Ramban, is Midin Idonin. Right? So Idonin, the Ikra Velus Minatora of Idonin, that applies Baninus. Vitichboses, Vitispores, Vitsimcha. Right? Veavelus Kishma. Shelois Asik Bidvarim Shel Simcha. Aval Bidivre Avelus. Ela Bidivre Avelus, sorry. The Ze Aninus Shebele. Shemimenu lamdu shleis asik bedvarim shel simcha. Aval mino, the sandal, the atifa. Here he's not talking about their interference anymore with Kvura, he's saying, Eina mina Torah, Shela Omra Torah, Lano Soletzar Nafsho, Minoik Shel Kola Olam, very important formulations. Lefika Chikila Be'elo Wachi Kaber, Behuatam Ba'atzma Lamash Omra Ba'abel, Yatzala Derech Noel, right, Amash Omra Bechasan, Bo Bilas Mitzvah Uporesh, Velo Asru Mishum, Shani Nuso Baze Torah, Vipnesha Bilas Mitzvah Nami, Asay Shel Torah, Kinatani Belech the Kabadarch Prat Lechasan. V'dochi zu mipnei zu. V'chein yesh omar the tefillin mishum the mitzvah rabba lo osur mele yom rishon sheish bavelis the Torah. Again, one could have had a different explanation of perech ha-chavish olecha than that. Mikamokar mishum aninuso osur bahem v'pnei shu torid b'kvur asameis v'ein libo ba'avelus lo manu shivo shloshim elemishasti masagola v'od Shall Korcha Mitiu be Mixas, Nina Velus, Achi cover, Mipne Tsarcha, Shomes, Kamosha Pirashna. Vena Bedinchi, Mani, Labishash, and Oig Bekula. But Ode, and he's so much divra, Gaonim, the Mashum, and Kolmokum, Inna Nidu, Midan Avelusu, etc. There are a lot of odes in this Ramban. Basically, the Ramban seems to be operating, you know, on two levels here. On the one hand, he's basically saying, I'm not sure how to navigate Aninos and Avelus. One way to navigate it is to say that everything really begins Mishas Aninus. There's really no fundamental difference whatsoever. Esek Bikfura Sanes is the great equalizer. That's responsible for the delay of the minyan, the, you know, neutralization of certain Nihugim, you know, etc., etc. Or it's a much more subtle idea, and that is basically the idea that Aninus Lechud and Abelus Lechud. However, Aninus, and well, that's, let's add, Aninus the Vukud and Avelus the Chud. Aninus is primarily a din in Aninus Belev, right? And the stira to Aninus is really not specifically Hugim, but Simcha, because Simcha and Abel, Abel equals Aninus, equals, you know, Aninus Belev. All of those things are Tartan Sasri, right? Mishas Avelus, maybe they're only Drabanan, right? The truth is that you can make the suggestion even if you decided some of these Dinam were Daraisa, right? But what you might say is that's a shift into a different stage. That's a shift into a stage where, again, the Rabban here happens to formulate a Drabanan, but the shift into a stage where it's not just Idonin and Dine Simcha, which are Astira to Aninus Belev. It's also Nihuge Ha'olam, right? Nihugim She'enam Kenoe Ga'olam, that in some respects are also Nihuge Tsa'ar, right? They apply as well. And that's why he has the 2 days. Again, he goes back on the point. Neshu Torid Bekfura Sanes, Ein Libo Ba'Velus, Lo Manas Shiva Shloshim Elamishasti Masagolel. Va'od Shariel Korcha Matir B'Mikzas Din Avelus I'd Shavur Tzarchish Ameis, right? Because you don't want to split them up. So one is purely pragmatic. The other one is, well, Bizman Esek Bikfuras Ameis, right? It's not just the distraction; it's a different stage in the Avelus. Yeah.
Isn't
Mashmal
what happened to mean that the Aminish believe is equalized somewhat by the was it Bikfuras Ameis? But in Echanami, both of them have that same Aminish believe throughout. You refers to both of them as if they're the same things, that they both have Aninus Belev, but...
Well, there is Aninus Belev, but they're not in the same intense level. I'm not saying that there's no Aninus Belev in the second part. I'm saying is,
okay,
there is no, according to the more, you know, the Inami or the Ode, what?
There's this additional aspect of Nihugi Abelis there.
Of Nihugi Abelis and Nihugi Shotzar. It's not, the first part is pure, almost, Aninus Shabelev, which is expressed in, also in certain Nihugim. The Nihugim are the Idonim, the Simcha, which are Stira to Aninus Shabelev. The second part, in a way, intense, maybe only Drabanan, you know, if you held that was Daraisa, Yom Kvura Misa Libanachar Kvura, maybe even Daraisa, right? Is certain Nihugim, which are not just Choser Simcha, right, but these are already Nihugim of Tsar, in a way it's an intensification. But I'm not suggesting that there's no Aninus Belev at that point. What I'm saying is that in addition to the Aninus Belev is certainly a little bit more attenuated. Because, in light of what he says earlier, right, Ika Mirusa Shal Adam is Kishameso Amutalafana Lemaisa. That's the case. that part kind of falls off a little bit and then kicks in, maybe to compensate, you know, greater expressions, not only of choser simcha, which are inappropriateness of simcha, because the meriras halev is attenuated a little bit. So the way to keep up the avelus is dafka to build in some tsar and some nihugin. But I would argue it isn't just a psychological, it isn't just, I would say it this way, it isn't just a mechanism, like, you know, what's a good strategy to keep you, you know, in this state, but it's also, this he doesn't say, but I just think it works well, you know, from a therapeutic point of view, the idea we were talking about before, that you have to switch, you know, whether it's a din in kavod ames or kavod achayim, you know, whether it's a din in the initial paralysis of not being able to move forward, right, and then coming to grips and really trying more specifically to understand what your losses are, and then how it affects you. You should wallow a little bit on the person before it affects you. Right? Then how does it affect you in your life? Not selfishly, even like existentially. How can my life go on without this person who was, you know, a factor, an important factor, you know, in it and so on. What I'm saying is the Ramban doesn't do all of this, but what the Ramban is suggesting alongside the Chad V'Chalak, everything starts with Aninus, is that Aninus and Avelus are two stages. And if you take the second approach, and you pointed out to me the other day, he's fine with all of this, even as he's saying this other approach, meaning Aninus L'chud, Avelus L'chud, and there are fundamental differences, he's still okay with the idea that Tash Mishanita is part of the Dini Anita, because that's part of the Ein Simcha L'Belev part. So that actually works out very nice. Now, if that is true, then perhaps we have a way, according to this, you know, second level of the Ramban, also to read the Gemara, which isn't completely technical. Okay, what do I mean? Again, the thing that bothered us the most in the sugya is at the end of the Gemara, right? The Gemara does say, "Oh, so this is, you know, compensation because we're mekel in chasen avel, right?" And then the Gemara says, "What are you talking about? That's not a kulin chasen avel, right? The avelus only begins mishas kvura." So he said, Bishlom of the Rambam, great. Bishlom of the Ramban, the Ritzva, even better. Right? According to the Ramban, if all we have in the Ramban is the view that Misa is Mechayev all Dine Avelis, basically, and the only reason that, you know, the illusion of two stages exists is because of the practicality of Kvura Sameis, but nothing else, so that Gemara is extremely problematic. So what are you going to say? Technically, this has nothing to do with the... It's not post-Kvura, so technically it's not part of the Avelus. That is true. But that's not a very compelling read in the Gemara. If it's not like the Ritva that there's, you know, the Din of Aninus, the Nihugi Avelus of Aninus, and the Nihugi Avelus of Avelus. Fine. And as I said, the Ritva not only has that answer, which is great... He doesn't even have a problem to begin with anyway, because in this case there was no kulas even on the Aninus side. Right? But for the Ramban, there was a kula on the Aninus side. It was a legitimate kula, because Esek bechupa, which he also an interesting formulation, right? Mipnei shebilas mitzvah nami asei shel Torahi. Right? Very interesting. That belongs on our list. You know, for the bold bilas mitzvah porish. Why do you have to do it? Asei shel Torahi. Okay. Kikachishi Shovala, whatever. Works nicely with the Ramban's view of the Mitzaseh, because the Ramban says there are two halves. If you remember in our discussions of Dav Zayin and so on, works nicely with the Ramban. Put it on the list. But the point is that, good, there's reason, but there was a violation of Dini Aninus. It was Nidche. And to say, oh, Aninus Lechud, Avelus Lechud, are you going to hide behind the technicality? When it's just about, you know, the requirements of Kvuras Hameis. So according to the Chad V'Chalak, you know, the two things that are going on here, it's still a problem. But at least the Ramban seems to be struggling to say that isn't all what's going on here. No matter what I'm saying about Aninus and Avelus, I also acknowledge that Aninus isn't just Tchilas Avelus, but there are two different stages. And Aninus L'chod and Avelus L'chod. I'm not even comfortable so much with the Gaonim, right, quoting Aninus Psukim to justify their Avelus Doraisa B'Yom Kvura Misa. I'm not so whatever with that. So what that means is that even if Misa is Mechayiv Dine right? Avelos b'shas anina, certain ones, but still, you know, it's still two different mechayvim. And, you know, we're still talking about two shlavim, which aren't fully and absolutely integrated. Okay. So I think this is a challenge. You have to read through Torah's Adam again and pick out the lines. But the Ramban clearly is struggling with this relationship. And actually, even though the Acharonim picked out the more dramatic and clear-cut ones, in fact, the impression that I get is that he's really, let's say, he's really trying to work it out, and he really feels that it's a much more complicated relationship. Okay. Having said that about the Ramban, who has the problem in one direction, so I think we should go back now just briefly to the Rambam. Because again, the Rambam, we thought we had the opposite problem, which is, Aninus is just Belev, or it's just Kudshim, or Meiser Sheni, right? But all Dini Avelus only begin later. So the Rambam is great in the Sugya, with the exceptions that we, you know, identified and already suggested solutions to. The Rambam is fine with that. The problem with the Rambam is it really true that Aninus ve'Avelus have nothing to do with each other, and that Aninus is purely Belev, you know, and that Avelus is, you know, purely Nihugin. Oh. So there are people who think that. There's absolutely no question that that is the case. And as I say, the Lecha Mishnah's, you know, highlight, you know, really, really emphasizes that. However, the question is, what do you do with Perek Aleph Halacha? Aleph. Again, everybody was bothered by Perek Aleph Halacha. I already mentioned the Lecha Mishnah's problems with it. But, you know, before that, the Kesef Mishnah, Masha Kosov Araya Shei Hevi Rabbeinu, Ima Shomer Bachal Tichat Vasayom Ayita Beine Hashem, Ish Litzmoa. So some people see Meis Mitzvah as the exception. The Rambam possibly sees Meis Mitzvah as the rule. And everybody's a Meis Mitzvah until they have Misha, you know, Mutal al Vekobro. That's where Kurva comes in. But everybody basically has a Chiyuv to every member of Klal Yisrael. Whatever. Okay. Kamar Shisha Meis Mitzvah Lechazek Chiyuv Zeh Biroso Bekoen Shumuzar Ala Tumah Shitam Al Kopanim Kishah Yisrael Kadeh Shelo Yitalesh Dine Avelus Begama Raya Zuyesh Litmoah Shetuma inen echad ve'avelus inen acher. Dim tziva shitam lekrovav im b'mash mazeh shisab l'aleim. So basically, the Kesef Mishnah is asking three questions. He's asking two, but it's really three. Okay. One is, again, what's why are we quoting, you know, v'achalti chatas hayom ayita b'nei Hashem. That's about kachim. Right? Even the Ramban was bothered by it. That's about aninus. Why are you quoting that for avelus? The Ramban could be bothered by it. It's a bigger question for the Rambam. Number two, doesn't the Rambam have in Sefer HaMitzvos and later on in Perek Beis? Somebody could read Perek Beis for a second, Yonatan? Doesn't the Rambam quote a totally seemingly a different makar for Avelus, for the mitzvah of Avelus? Not Ayita Bein Hashem, but the mitzvah of Kohanim Latame Lemeis. And that's what he quotes in Sefer HaMitzvos as well, correct? You have it?
Keep going.
So what does the Ravid say about that last point?
The Ravid, sorry, Sir Ebed, Omar Abram, Kashali, Hadatanya, Isha Arusa, Lo Onen, Velo Metamela, Bechain, Hilo Onenes, Velo Metamela, Hanesua Metamela.
Meaning? What's he about? What's the Rabban adding? What's the Rambam talking about? That it's only Zecharim who have this chiyuv to be metameh lemeis. Sounds like women also have a chiyuv. They don't have an iser of tumas meis, but they would have the iser to be metameh lemeis. I mean, they don't have the iser, but they would have the mitzvah of a veil, kal v'chomer, you'd think. In one case, you have a clash. If the Zecharim have the obligation to violate for the sake of avelos, don't the women who don't have a violation certainly have the obligation to be mistames, right? That's the rabbi's question. Anyway, the point, the rabbi of the Sefer Mitzvahs also emphasizes the sin of Tumas Kohen. So the Kesef is just saying, A, I don't understand the Ayita Bein Hashem. B, there's another Mok. How does that fit in with the Mokar that he quotes in Sefer Mitzvahs and later on, you know, which it sounds like a totally different Mokar. Number three, I don't understand that Mokar either. What's he talking about? What is Tumas Kohanim for the Kohanim have to do with everybody else's obligation of Tumah? We could add to that what the Rabbit is saying, which is, if the Rambam's right in that halacha, why would he dafka say that the women who have no Iser also have no mitzvah? Kol Shekein, right? Anyway, the Radbaz also, Umikan Lamed Rabbeinu, Shehim Betzaseh Shel Torah, Kim Shenitches Achilas Karbanos Bilva. And one second. Yes, from Achron Shikos, which in available from the Torah. Klau. One second. Okay, I'm not finding it here. I thought the Radbaz was more also critical. Maybe it's somewhere else where he's critical. Maybe in Parakidology. Whatever. The point is, this is a very problematic. I'd say if the Ramban had trouble with it, then the Rambam certainly should have trouble with it. And that's what the Lechem Mishnah is saying. He's saying, I don't get it at all. Then he should have the nihuge avelus too. That's a really good question. We've mentioned before. And he brings in parakamidik suvas. So what's going on here? Oh, so. Basically, what you might say is as follows. And this is something that the Rav used to say about Rambam Shita and Avelos. And that is that the Rambam also agrees that there is an overlap between Aninus and Avelos. And in a manner which is actually very similar to what I'm suggesting is the Safek in a way, or the Hitlab Tuyot, if you will, of the Ramban on the topic. Right? Well, the Ramban is emphasized, probably got a lot from the Rambam. No, Aninus is Aninus Belay. And the question is, what is the relationship between that and the Nihugim of Avedis? So, one could have thought that nothing at all. Again, one is just an emotional reality for which we acknowledge and we concede a little bit. Right, but the halachos of Avelos, according to the Rambam, all begin Mishas Kavura. End of story. There are some achronim, by the way, because of they're so bothered by Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, that suggest, oh, so maybe really the Rambam holds like the Ramban, and maybe there really should be Nisatash Mishamish Mita and some other things. So they have trouble, obviously, with the rest of the Rambam. But I think what the Ramban is saying is, clearly, you know, in his more complex view, let's say, is that there is a Kiyum Belev, and that's Soser Simcha, and then Avelus adds other Nihugim on a different level. For the Ramban, the distinction is, you know, Idonim Simcha, which are Stira Toninus Belev, and then Tsar, or Dvarim Hanoagim, you know, the regular things that people do that aren't Simcha, but you're supposed to be Mitztar Ratzmacha, in a way, during Avelos, but of Shiva, not of Shloshim. That's a big thing the Ramban points out. Later on, when he talks about Shloshim, there's no dinim of Tsar anymore, which is what characterizes some of the Nihugim of Shiva. Anyways, the point is that you have one of the things that comes out of the Ramban is that the nihugim of simcha flow from the skiyum of simcha b'lev. So the Rav thought that was the pshat in the Rambam as well. Except I would just add the following. And that is that for the Rambam, the state of aninus b'lev, you know, in the time of Onain, is not accompanied by any nihugin. It's important that there be a time in which it's purely, you know, intellectual and emotional. And it doesn't have objective expressions. Whereas for the Ramban, right, the nihuge simcha are prohibited as expressions of aninus b'lev right from the outset. Okay. You can, you know, argue which of these is a more effective way of accentuating you know, aninus b'lev. You know, I think it's a 50-50 argument, but basically what you have are two, you know, models that, you know, on the surface seem radically different. Certainly if you were to take the view of the realm of this, there's no, you know, avelus at all, there's only aninus, and when there's avelus, there's nothing to do with b'lev anymore. That would be the, you know, the more extreme way to look at it. What I'm suggesting is that the Rambam too, by saying in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, right, that aninus is relevant to avelus, being doraisa b'yom kippur mesa, even though there are no nihugim b'shas aninus, and even though aninus is only b'lev, it's the Rambam's way. This is the Rambam's explanation. It's the Rambam's way of telling you that even when you transition into nihuge avelus, the nihuge avelus are kiyumim, right, in aninus b'lev. Just that, this part, I'm not sure if the Rav said or I'm adding, at the zman aninus, it's a purist b'lev. And that's important, too, not just because of Esa Takvura. Again, some of the Akronimu wanted to go in this direction. I mentioned, basically, so, oh, the Rambam really holds like Ramban. Aye, what do you do with the evidence? The Ramban holds that Nila Sasando and Kviya Samita and Ita Farosh interfere with the obligation of Kvura, right? So the Rambam was machmir on that. He felt that all the Nihugei Avelus are a distraction to, you know, to the Kvura. But in principle, even the Rambam will agree that while Lamaisa, everything only kicks in at the Zman of the Kvura, right, that everything, aninus and avelus, is really one intense or you know, de-accelerating intention, period. That's how some Achronim read the Rambam. I don't think that's a pshat. I think what pshat is, you know, for the Rambam to be consistent all around, the first period is intentionally in aninus ela b'lev. And it's not a concession or a recognition of reality. That's the ideal. It's supposed to be that. And even for Haruge Bezdin, as we mentioned the other day. After that initial period, which is also connected to Misha Mesa Mosulafanov, but not for pragmatic reasons, but for, again, existential reasons. That's part of the coming to grips with that. And the Basar B'Yayin is not pragmatic, you know, and so on. Again, we noted in the Basar B'Yayin in Perek Beis Halacha Vav that the Rambam also transitions, like the Ramban, into Avelus. Avelus is a more moderate expression of that. So it's not only Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, it's also Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Okay. So during Aninus, right, it's expressed only in things like Basar B'Yayin and the Dine Kadshin, you know, and so things that you can't do. After the Kvura, that's a different stage of the emotional release, right? And at that point, the Nihugim become a Kiyum in the B'lev. But it's connected to the Aninus. It's not that the Aninus is unrelated. So for that reason, the Rav wanted to suggest, that's why the Rambam quotes Aninus, right, and so on, as the makar of Avelus Doraisa. But he also thought, basically, that what the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvot, or what he writes in Perek Beis Halacha Vav, about Tumas Kohanim, is just like the second side of that same coin. In what way? Right? So let's get back to the Ravid scribe. It seemingly asks a very good question. Right? If the Kohen Zachar, who has a prohibition of Tumas Meis, is supposed to violate for the sake of Avelus, So Kol Shekain, the female who doesn't have that counter pressure. So what's the Rambam talking about? Oh. So the Rav thought that the pshat of the Rambam is, and that's question number one, and the question that the other are asking is, what does Tumas Meis have to do with anything? And frankly, that's like a big makar for Avelis, and what about the, you know, the percentage of the population? I don't remember what we said when we talked about Klusim Yaskim Lashonim and Hashas Kohen, what the percentages were, but whatever the low percentages are of Kohanim, right? So that's the makar, and that, and what we, you know, if you don't have that, you know, even female Kohanim don't have this. Never mind male members of male and female members who are not Kohanim. Like, what's going on? Oh. So the Rav thought the idea is dafka when there's counter pressure. Right, that becomes an expression of avelus. Because, basically, yeah, there are two ways that you could look at nihugi avelus. One way is to look at them as prohibitions, things you're not allowed to do. And you're an avel, and it's not appropriate for you to do this, that, and the next thing. It's asur that malacha. It's asur, right, to sit the way you normally sit, to sleep the way you normally sleep, right? It's asur to be shoel. Shalom, it's usur, you know, to sit, you know, with a bare head, right? Not a bare head, but a bare head, right? Dari surim of avelus. So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that all these things have to be reverse formulated. They're not isurim. They're nihugim, right? When you sit batipas harosh, right, you express a certain pain, a certain tsar, a certain aninus belay. When you sit without, when you meet somebody and you are not able to or should not be able to greet him, or you refrain from greeting him, it's not that you also to greet him, right? Refraining from greeting him and encountering him without greeting is a kiyum. When you sit low, it's the sitting low, not the not sitting high. In other words, all of these are expressions, these are positive expressions or demonstrations of the fact that, you know, this is a bubble and you know, things are not usual, they can't be usual. You know, it's going to take you a while to reconnect, you know, with the typical nihugim of life. Those are kiyume avelus. So what the Rambam's saying is two things, and they're two sides of the same coin. Number one, aninus belev is the yisod of avelus doraisa b'yom. On the transition for that first day, yom miso kavura is doraisa, and beyond that it's drabanan. But you should know that the nihugim aren't just isurim, they're kiyumim, they're nihugim, and they're nihugim of the kiyum belev. You do these things to express to others and also to promote from within you, right, that your sense of existential crisis and loss. And if you're a Kohen, so dafka because there's an Iser letame lemesim, so being letame lemesim becomes a way of expressing your avelus. If you're a female Kohen, right, if you're a Kohenes or a Bas Kohen, let's even call her a Kohenes for the moment, right, to make it even more dramatic, that's an issue in general. And, you know, which dinim of female kohenim are bas kohenim, and which dinim are kohenes. But the point is that she doesn't have an iser letame lemeis. So being metame lemeis for the avel doesn't show anything. Dafka, you need the counter pressure in order for this to be a significant demonstration, you know, of what you're going through and what you're trying to promote. So it doesn't matter for Yisrael that Yisraelim don't have this tuma. The fact that male Kohanim dafka have a mitzvah latameh lemeis is a concept, right, which establishes, right, what avelus really is. So this helps for something else as well. I'm not sure if the Rav said this or not, very possibly. I know he said these other parts. I could be, I'm elaborating a little bit and you know, changing it a little bit, I'm not sure. But this part I'm not sure about what he said, and I'll say it. In our sugya, we know that there's a huge debate. We still have to pin down the details. Right? The Rishonim, I'll ask, how could you, a chuppah and shivas me'amishta be doche, avelus yom rishon, let's say yom kvura misa, according to those Rishonim, we think it's daraisa, how could it in drabanan be doche din daraisa? Right, that's a big question. So we need to discuss that, the answers to that question. So there are some Rishonim who deny the question. Avinoam, how would you deny the question? What? Well, you can, if all of Avelus is not Daraisa,
or do it on the next day.
Or if you do it on the next day, which is two answers the Rishonim give. Some Rishonim say, all of Avelus is Drabanan. The question is, well, what do you do with the Gemara and Moed Katan, which seems to say it's a mitzvah set? Okay, we'll get back to that. Right, the Gemara in Yudalon of Bez. Right? Some Rishonim say what you just said, that it's the next day, it's not Yom Kvura Misa. Correct? Other Rishonim still say what? Along the denial level still. Because so far you're focusing on, well, the Avelus is Drabanan. How about the other side? Anybody think that chuppah is, or what? Yeah, anybody?
I can't think of
really? Adam?
The
say again?
I think the
Rosh quotes the Ramah, right? Who quotes the pasuk from Shir HaShirim. He says that what? That Yom Rishon of chuppah is Daraisa, correct? So if they're both Daraisa, okay. By the way, that's part of the, I started the sugya by saying, there's an Moshe Tikein, there's an interesting parallel between the heights of joy, right, and the heights of, or the depths, I should say, sorry, of sorrow and crisis, right? I think because the excesses are parallel, the therapy and the way of integrating into our lives should be parallel, and also you always want to remember the highs, at the depths and the depths at the heights. Right? Very briefly, that's a whole big topic. But anyways, those three perspectives. Well, if we get a chance, we'll speak about it. The Moshe Tikein. So the Ramah is a great shita. Okay. What's the more standard answer? Not the denial answer, but Inokanami, this is Drabanan, maybe that's even Daraisa, but, Adam? Okay, that's if it's a Daraisa. That's also part of the denial. Let's say we acknowledge it's Drabanan. What do they quote? Ramban himself, right? Ish koach v'yad chachamim lakar the Sheval Taisa. Correct? So then there's an interesting Ran. Chaim saw the Ran. What does the Ran say? He gives that answer also, the Ramban, but then he adds something. That what? He says, my opinion, if this is the right answer, then we need to add and say, we make it qualify. What do we need to qualify?
He says that if you do a bialos on the first day, after the bialos mitzvah,
yeah,
then you'd not be mitzari to the other day of
bialos. You'd what?
You'd not be mitzari to other days of bialos to the first day of bialos, because the first day is the reisa.
That aside, I'm talking about what in the answer yesh koch v'ad chachamim, right? Lakor v'sheval taisa. The Ran has an additional ha'ara, right? Kanan.
I said the Ran said something that the chuppah is going to become lasting with the shesheim
mishra. Oh, in other words, he starts. You have the line, Yonatan. You have it. Correct.
Sheino chayav lasis ma'isa shalavelus.
What's he saying? He's basically saying, well, if this is what you really think, then you have to be consistent about it. Meaning, there are certain nihugei avelos that you can violate, and others that you can't. I mean, the things that are sheval yesh koch v'achamim lakor b'sheval taisa means what? Don't blow shofar. Right? But it doesn't mean, if it's b'shevata, it doesn't mean that you can violate. So the question now is, when you look at Dine Avelis, are they Kumbase or are they Sheval Taisa? That's an interesting question, right? Oh, let's take a step back for a moment. Well, the Gemara does say in Moed Katan, and Daf Yadalot Amud Beis, Jonathan, what did the Gemara say there? Moed Katan Yadalot Amud Beis. The Gemara says, how do you know that there's no Avelis for Rego? See it? Are you trying to see it? Gemara says, how come there's no Avelis for Rego? Maybe there should be. Now the Gemara discusses two scenarios. He's already in Avel and then Regel hits, or his Avelis takes place on the Regel. Yakir? What did the Gemara say? Didn't see it? Shlomo?
Yes, so
it's a Samachta V'Chagecha. The Gemara says, Samachta V'Chagecha is an Asay Shel Rabin, and therefore...
Doka
what?
Asay the Yom.
Yeah. What did you first say? We first said, and then we said, you said Rabbanan, right?
Yes, yeah.
Ooh, ah.
Yes.
But it's not completely wrong, because that's how the Bali Tosis read the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara really says, there's an Aseh de Yachid against an Aseh de Rab. It's also very interesting, because Aseh de Rabim doesn't mean that the Rabim are doing it. I mean, the Rabim are doing it, meaning it's you. You do the Aseh Shal Yachid, or do you do the Aseh Shal Rabim? Right? It's not that you're Mebatel the Rabim from there. In general, okay. But I mean, it's a quality, it's a share in the quality of Essen. So the point is that they ask, Regel is an Aseh de Rabim, not just that everybody does it, but that every individual who does it is involved in an Aseh de Rabim. Anyways, the point is, the pashtus of the Gemara is, that's one of the things that the Gonim, that's why some of the Gonim said, oh, there has to be a Velus Doraisa, because the Gemara calls it a Mitzaseh. So, right? Either Shiva Simei a Velus, which is one view of the Raidid, or Yom Kvuro Misa, right? That's to be Doraisa. Tosus there says, well, we think all of Avelis is Drabanan. So this Gemara means an Asmachta. Right? That's part of the Ramban's whole discussion in Torah's Adam as well. We'll stop in a minute. Okay. But either way, what's fascinating about the Gemara there is that the Gemara, let's assume it's Doraisa for the moment, that the Gemara characterizes Avelis as a Mitzvah Saseh. Would you have thought that it's a Mitzvah Saseh? I mean, how does it express itself as a Mitzvah Saseh? It's really a lav, no? You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the next thing, right? You can't sit high, you can't, you can't say hello, right? All the most of the, you can't, there's an Isser Tashma Shamita, there's an Isser Malacha, this is all Mitzvah Saseh. So in Shabbos, and in Yom Tov, and in Yom Kippur, all right, we know that sometimes abstaining from things, from doing things, can also be a kiyum aseh. And we discussed last year, right, in our Hagdama, when there's an aseh and a lav, or when sometimes, essen express themselves, in a negative form, and so on. All right, maybe that's what's going on here. But there aren't two dinim here. It's not an aseh and a lav. It's only a mitzvah aseh. It's not going to be a mitzvah aseh. It's don't. Right? Oh. And then the Ran, that's what I want to get to now, right? So the Ran said, that's the line. You have the line of the Ran again one more time, Jonathan? Yeah. So the Ran says, Ran is very consistent. The Ran says, well, there are Simcha Dinim, but say, and there are Tsar Dinim. You don't need to do the Tsar Dinim, you can refrain from them. But you shouldn't be allowed to do the Simcha Dinim either. And when it comes to Shiva Simei Mishteh and its clash with Shiva Simei Avelus, that's no small concession by the Ran. However, the Ramban, who gave the original answer, right, in Torah Sa'adam, that they're all quoting from, did he make this distinction? Jonathan? Did he? So you guys read it in Torah Sa'adam, you read the quote. And the quote in the Rush, and so on. Jason? He absolutely did not. So what's going on? So the answer very well may be what we just said. In other words, if you look at Dine Avelus as Isurim, it's a Zilzala Mace, it's inappropriate for someone in this to be doing this, that, and the next thing, and that's very easy to do. So then, at minimum, it's hard to understand why this is all the Mitzvah. Alright, they'll say, it's, you know, in the Chomer Hadavar for some reason. Impossible. It's strange. We would have thought it would be more like a lav. Now again, in Yesh Koch Ve'ach HaChomim La'akor B'Shev Al Taisa, that's about Kumba Asei B'Shev Al Taisa, or it's about Asei in a lav. Also a tricky kind of a thing. Right, it seems to be a big debate in the Rishonim in a few places. Sugi Nivamba Staf Tzadi, and the Gemara Bracha Staf Yud Tes, right, about Kavod Ames. Right, the Gonim a lot think that it's Essen and Lavin. You know, and other Rishonim think it's Kumba Sein Sheval Taisa. Baruchim Fishel Perlo speaks about this a lot in the Sefer Staf Tzadi Gon. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make here, very briefly, hopefully, is that the Kiyum, if we look at Avelus as a Kiyum, as a way of expressing, you know, our loss, not as Isurim, given, you know, the framework in which we're in. So even the things like that seem like they're Kekumbase are really Shevaltase from that point of view. As I say, you're not allowed to greet people, or you have to be in a non-greeting state. It sounds like, you know, a word game, but it's totally not a word game. These are attitudinally two totally different ideas. Are we trying to demonstrate our avelos? Or as an abel, there are things that are inappropriate. Can't do malacha. Refraining from malacha is a way of expressing avelos. It's not that, oh, you're an abel, and it's like, you know, Yom Tov or Shabbos, and it's Aser b'malacha. That's the case. That's part of the idea of connecting avelos to aninus and saying, you know, the onset of nihugim now, they're going to be, you know, the tangible expressions of this tsar shebelev. That's not isurim, that's kiyumim. So only the zachar kohen, right, is expressing that in his tumah lameis. And therefore, even the dinim of simcha on shivas amei mishta la'akar akvura, right? They're not kumbase. They're still avaltase. You're not obligated to do these demonstrative, you know, nihug expressions of avelos. That's what the Ramban had in mind. The Ran thought, no, there are two types of dinei avelos, or that Kumbase Shevaltase at least always depends physically on taking action as opposed to being passive. That's another way, you know, to explain the distinction of the Ran. So if this is the case, then what we're saying, again, there's still a huge difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. They argue, and they don't just argue technically, I think they also argue conceptually. You know, I think it's very important that for the Ramban, there should be tangible nihugim already bizman on Yunus Shebelev. And that for the Rambam, Dafka, there's a period where it's pure Aninus Shebelev. Or maybe expressed in the Kachim, in the Basar B'Yayin, etc. I think that's very important. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to moderate a little bit is the idea that for the Rambam, Aninus and Avelus, get back to Lechem Mishnah's quote. Lechem Mishnah says, well, if you're already going to quote Aninus, you know, as a mocker for Avelus, then why not Tashmish Shamita and all these other things too? That's a little harsh. What we're trying to say is, not that Aninus or Avelus begins at Aninus, but that Aninus Belev continues into, right, and is at that stage, it's appropriate, gets expressed by Nihuge Avelus. Okay, we'll stop here. I just want to finish with this idea a little bit more, and I want to speak about the sugya in, two sugyas in Sukkah a little bit, meaning what constitutes, what's Tirdas Mitzvah in Avel, and what's Mitzdayer in Avel, and a little bit more about this, and then we'll go back to some of the local issues in our sugya and some Lashonos, you know, just to finish up, and then we'll move on to some of the Shabbos topics. Okay, next week should be normal schedule. Maybe we'll also start setting time to meet.